2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to read you this passage from the Old Testament, and then two passages from the New Testament. The message today is the gentleness of God. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look at verse 30. Some portions are found twice in the Word of God. This portion is found twice in the Word of God, here and in Psalm 18, with slight variations. And it says that the occasion of this is David spoke these words, this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, "The Lord is my rock." And while telling of what the Lord is, verse 36, it says this, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Now turn to Matthew chapter 11. I speak of the gentleness of God. Let me explain to you that this word that is translated gentleness, the root word also is translated humility and meekness. And so we're going to take those things into consideration as well. So when I speak of gentleness, meekness, humility, these things are similar. Now let's look in Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Now I Paul myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the strength that flows from thee into our souls when we read thy word. Thou hast promised a blessing for those who read and hear that word, and we understand, our Father, that the blessing is in the content, the comprehension of the remarkable things spoken, that you have spoken to man, through men, in your word. And our desire is that we might take them to heart. Our God, what good is medicine if it is not taken? And what good is food that is within us if it is not digested? And so for that reason, by thy Spirit, may these truths be received and digested, and may they become a part of us, that we might be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. Let us realize, our Father, the truth of these words, as difficult as they are to comprehend, but thy word is truth, and let thy truth bless our souls. How many are sick, our God? Those who would be here, we know their faithfulness. They are sick. They are not here. Remember them, our God, and raise them up. Thou hast told us to love thee with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and yet some have strength and they do not love thee. And some, Father, love thee, but have not strength to be here to hear thy word and worship thee. So, our Father, impart that strength to those who are weak, and stir the spirits of those who have the strength, but their hearts are cold. Prepare the hearts of those who listen today, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, In whose name we pray. Amen. Who would ever have thought that God could be described by this adjective? Who would ever think that the God that we know of as Almighty God, the Eternal God, the Omniscient God, who would ever think that He would be spoken of in the Bible as the Gentle God? But I read you that scripture, and I could have read you another scripture as well in Psalm 18 that tells us of the gentleness of God, and that word and its synonyms are translated gentleness, goodness, humility, meekness, lowliness, all of these things descriptive of our God who has saved our souls. So when we think of Him as Almighty God and the God to be feared, and that is true, at the same time, let us remember that He is also a gentle God. And I have shown you portions in the Old Testament, and I want to show you portions in the New Testament as well, speaking of the gentleness of God. But understand, I did not say the gentleness of the Father. I did not say the gentleness of the Son. But I said the gentleness of God. Because what is said of the Father in the Old Testament is said of the Son in the New Testament, and the Spirit Himself contains these same characteristics. They are true of the Spirit as well as the Father, as well as of the Son. So I told you from 2 Samuel 22 of the gentleness of the Father. That is the one that we'll be speaking of there. David is speaking of God, the Father. He said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." But the remarkable thing is that Paul, not our Savior, but Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 of the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So you say, well, it speaks of the gentleness of the Father in the Old Testament, and it speaks of the gentleness of Christ, our Savior, in the New Testament. Yes. And I will give you this verse, and this alone, because concerning the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. The Spirit, who is characterized by these things, possesses them. How could anyone who does not possess these things impart them to others? But the Spirit of God is gentle, as the Father is gentle, and as the Son is gentle. And therefore, the message today is the gentleness of God. And I could give you three messages, spend an entire message upon the gentleness of the Father, the gentleness of the Son, the gentleness of the Spirit. What I will do is to tell you a little bit about the gentleness of all of them, and let your heart meditate upon them. And instead of fearing God, because He is to be feared, and instead of addressing Him as Almighty God, the Omnipotent God, the Omnipresent God, to, on occasion, think of Him as the Gentle God. And this is a contradiction to everything that the modernists would cast in our teeth about God. They say, no, this God of the Old Testament, we want nothing to do with Him. We want Christ of the New Testament. I will accept that. I will accept it. If you will show me the description that the Old Testament gives of this God, and if I were to read that portion to them, they would be taken by surprise and somehow evaded. But the Bible speaks of the gentleness of God and the love of God and other qualities of God that are similar that I'll bring to your attention as we go along. And so when you're talking about this Christ of the New Testament, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, strange that the same thing that is said of Jesus thousands of years later was said of the Father thousands of years earlier. And so is Jesus gentle? Yes, that's the kind of man that I want to follow. Well, the Bible also says that God is gentle. And this spirit, the spirit that so often among the charismatics is one who is violent, stirring up activity. And that is true. But at the same time, there is that gentleness that the Spirit of God imparts to us. And so most of us would preach the fear of God and the almightiness of God. But while we do that, let us remember to tell people about the gentleness of God. What is so beautiful, if you read the Old Testament as a whole, is to see the different ways that a truth about God is presented to us. If there were time, I could have read to you in 2 Samuel chapter 7 about the gentleness of God. And in that chapter, God tells David of his gentleness. But in 2 Samuel 22, David tells God of his gentleness. Now, that is of the greatest importance. How many things has God told us, but we have never comprehended them? We have never made them a part of ourselves. It is like this. You will find two references in the epistles to Abba Father. It says in Galatians that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. Grasp that. He has sent forth the Spirit of God into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. He is crying this in our hearts. He is trying to get us to understand these words. But in Romans, it says this, that because of the Spirit successfully crying these things in our hearts, we cry, Abba Father. In Galatians, the Spirit is saying, Abba Father. But in Romans, the ones to whom the Spirit said, Abba, Father, now have those words upon their lips, and they are saying, Abba, Father. So what God would impart to those in the Galatians, they have comprehended it and speak it in the book of Romans. And in like manner, what God has told David in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, David is now telling God in chapter 22. The Spirit cries, Abba, Father. And then there is success, and we cry, Abba, Father. And God tells David, I am gentle, David. And then David says, Father, thou art gentle. And that is why we preach week after week the truths of God. What good is it if I tell you that we may cry, Abba Father, and you never cry, Abba Father? If I tell you that there is the gentleness of God, and you never experience the gentleness of God, that you're in doubt about God. If I tell you God loves you, but you never say, God loves me. For God to tell you that He loves you, for God so loved the world. But listen to Paul. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We preach that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what we tell you. But now Paul is saying, Christ loved me, and Christ gave himself for me. And that is why the portion in 2 Samuel 22 is so precious, because it is a revelation of God, but it is a revelation concerning that which man has experienced in his heart concerning God. David says it, thy gentleness hath made me great. All right, think of this. the gentleness of God, David has comprehended, has made me great. If there were not gentleness with God, there would be no greatness. And at times, some fear the severity of God, because these two words go together. Behold, the goodness and severity of God. And the psalmist says, O Lord, come not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no living soul is righteous. You see, he is afraid. He understands about God. But at the same time, when you learn of the gentleness of God, then you make into the presence of God, and you are not afraid. When God was manifesting himself to the children of Israel, and he appeared in the mount, they were afraid because God manifested himself in fire and in thunder. And they said to Moses, we are afraid to go up. You go up and represent us. But Moses was never afraid to go into the presence of God, nor was Joshua afraid to be in the tent with Moses when they were communing with God. Because they not only knew that our God is a consuming fire, but they also understood about the gentleness of God. And those were some of the things that God told Moses when Moses besought God. He said, show me thy glory. And God said, I will do it. And when he passed by Moses, among the many things he told Moses about himself, he said, I am merciful. So these are the things that you learn, God. If you know that God is a consuming fire, you will not approach him. If you know that God is almighty and that God is holy, you will not approach him. You will say like Isaiah, woe is me. But if you know that this God who is almighty and holy and is a consuming fire is also a gentle God, then you will approach him and cast yourself upon his mercy and his gentleness for the forgiveness of sin and for the blessing of your life. And that is why God tells us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament about the gentleness of the Father. And that is why in the New Testament, the Father tells us about the gentleness of his Son. And some have never understood it. Listen to what the servant says, who took that tip that had been given him, buried it in the ground. And he had to give an account. He said, I know thee, that thou art an hard master. You gather where you didn't sow, and you reap where you did not scatter. I was afraid of you. And so, that's the reason that I buried this gift that you gave me. And God said, I will judge you by your own words. If you knew that was true of me, why did you not do this with the gift that I gave you? And so there are some who know that God is going to require that which we've given. But at the same time, if you know that there is the gentleness of God, then you will go out and do what you can, knowing that when you appear before God, you will say, he has not rewarded us according to our sins. He has not judged us according to our iniquities. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so the goodness, the compassion, the love of God are high above them that fear him. So we must know about the gentleness of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, or else there will be no approaching God. We will know that the heavens declare the glory of God. Who is this God that has made this universe? And at the same time, if we read about the God who gives the Ten Commandments, he's a consuming fire. We read about the holiness of God. But if you know also that this one is a gentle God, then you say, there is hope for me. And that is what God wants you to understand about himself and about his Son. And to show you how our Savior was misrepresented, that he was not an austere, a hard man. When the Lord Jesus had parents bringing their children, and the disciples wanted to get rid of them, the Lord Jesus said, you bring those children here. You suffer little children to come unto me. And it said, he took the children in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. How does that sound? You say, that is gentleness. Why, of course. And that's what God wants you to understand. It was read to us from Luke 7 this morning about a woman who in the city had been a city. Her life was one of vileness. And yet when she approached the Lord Jesus, there was nothing but gentleness in regard to that woman. And that's the reason that she was not afraid to come and impart her love that had been so defiled in the past. But she knew that Jesus loved her, and in turn, she loved Jesus. She knew something about the gentleness of Jesus. And that is an encouragement to us who have failed God so miserably. I'm thinking of this, and remember it, that if I'd ever done such a thing as Peter had done, if I, with cursing and with an oath, swore to God that I'd never known Jesus of Nazareth, I do not believe I would ever be able to face him again. And so for that reason, even before that open public reconciliation of Peter in John chapter 21, it says earlier that the Lord hath appeared unto Simon, unto Peter. Why? Because he had to get things straightened out. And think now, when Peter had so miserably denied his Lord, in that interview in John chapter 21, was the interview and the restoration of Peter as violent and equal to the denial of Peter of his Lord? You say, oh, it was nothing like it. The Lord said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. He said, I see, but you feed my lambs. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. He said, I see. Will you take care of my lambs? He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, then take care of my sheep. Now, what kind of Savior does that sound like? You say, if I have a Savior like that I could so grievously deny him before men, and he would treat me that way. And then when I would avoid coming right out and boasting again and telling him how vile the sin I committed actually was, why, I think I could live forever with that Savior. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to understand that you are not the sin. And it says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You have an enemy with the Father when you sin. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. But in Jesus Christ, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so when you sin, rather than destroy you, his gentleness restores you. This is what God wants us to understand. This gentleness is not in the least to be sought, to be taken advantage of. Some people would do that. The love of God, the gentleness of God. Well then, no matter what I do, his gentleness will overlook my sin. That's wrong. Because there was a strength to the gentleness of God, and there was a strength to the meekness of the Lord Jesus. When he said, I am meek and lowly, I have seen worldlings trying to depict the meekness of Jesus. And there was this weak, effeminate look, and that is supposed to be meekness. There was a strength to the meekness of Jesus that men do not know how to enact. And there is a strength to the gentleness of our Lord. And that gentleness with strength and love and wisdom are all combined for the good of man. And this is why the God that we serve is a wonderful God, and it is not that we have made him that way, it is what God is. God is love. There is the gentleness of God. There is the kindness of God. And this is what the Lord wants us to understand. Let me tell you a little about the gentleness of God. If you want to know the best commentary on the verse that I read you, you'll find it in another psalm. The psalm goes something like this. Who is like thee, O Lord God, whose seat is on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, who raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy from the dunghill and makes him to sit with princes. Now that is our God. He is exalted above his creation. He humbleth himself to behold the things in heaven and on earth. And yet this God in his gentleness reaches down and he raiseth up the poor from the dust and he lifts up the needy from the dunghill. And that was not enough. He causes him to sit with princes. That is the gentleness of God. And that is the message that God wants to convey to men. And that same thought that is in Psalm 113 also is the thought that comes from the heart of Hannah when she is praising God because of the son Samuel he is going to give her. This comprehension about the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, the gentleness of God, the compassion of God, all of these things are brought out. And so Hannah knows about the gentleness of God. And David knows about the gentleness of God. And this is what God told David. He said, why, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, and I made you prince, ruler over my people Israel. David said, yes, your gentleness has made me great. And David never forgot what he was. He said, I come from one of the poorest families in Israel. I'm the son of Jesse. When King Saul told him he could marry his daughter, David abased himself. He said, I'm not worthy of all of this. Now, think of David being exalted by God himself. And then he said, it is your gentleness that has made me great. There are some who would go into the presence of God and say, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. David goes into the presence of God, and what God told David, I was quoting from chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel 22, David, in his own words, reiterates what God had told him, 2 Samuel. God said, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep. I made you king of Israel. That's what God told David. And then David said, your gentleness hath made me great. You see, God told David, David comprehended it and made it his own. And now David is confessing the gentleness of God. I have asked you concerning God's gentleness and could illustrate it in others as well, not only David, but I see the way that God has dealt with his fretting, erring servants, and the only way this could be described is gentleness. I'm thinking of Jonah. Jonah, who wanted the wrath of God to fall upon Nineveh, and when God did not bring his wrath upon it, but had mercy on them, he said to God, he said, I knew this was going to happen. He said, that's the reason that I did not want to come and preach in this city. He said, I know the kind of God you are. You are a God who is merciful and long-suffering. You are gracious. You repent yourself of the evil. I knew you were going to do this, and that's the reason I didn't want to come. And what would you think of some child that spoke to you that way, some decision a parent had made? And yet this is man talking to God. And God said to him this. He said, Jonah, he said, doest thou well to be angry? And later he said, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death. And God did not destroy the man. Let me tell you about God dealing with that elder son in Luke 15. His young son has come home, safe and sound. And it says the older brother will not go in. And it says his father went out and entreated him. And he said to his son, he said, son, he said, you're ever with me. All that I have is thine. Don't you understand that it was meet to make you merry and be glad? But this your brother is dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. Don't you understand this? This is the gentleness of God. He's done the same thing with Elijah. When Elijah was running from Jezebel and he was hiding in the wilderness, God went to him and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah. And Elijah came out with this elaborate story about he was the only one that was left, the only one faithful to God. And God listened to him. And then he said again, he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah would not turn from his self-vindication. And so finally God had to say, "Elijah, go and in your place anoint Elisha." But you see what he tried to do? He gives us a chance to confess, to repent, to be restored. And if not, he says, "Well, your usefulness to me is ended." All right. If these things are comforting, are thrilling to the soul, to know that they are true about the Father and of the Son, that also is an encouragement, is that these things can be true concerning you, and God wants them to be true, not only of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, but He wants them to be true of you as well. And Paul says that some of them are true of me. He said they are true of me and Silvanus and Timothy. He says to the Thessalonians, "When we came to you, we were gentle in the midst of you, as a nurse cherishes her own children." You say, well then, the gentleness of God was now in the Apostle Paul. Yes, in that apostle who was persecuting the church, who said, "I'm not worthy to be called a child of God because I persecuted the church." But now he says, "We were gentle in the midst of you." And having told that he and Silvanus and Timothy were gentle, this is what he says concerning the other servants of God. He says this, "Now, the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all. Apt to teach," it says, "forbearing, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, if peradventure God may give them repentance unto the acknowledgement of the truth." You say, then what Paul found God to be, and then made it a part of his own being, he exhorts other Christians to be. Yes. And just as our Savior, when men sinned, just as the Father, when men sinned, manifested gentleness on his part. It says in Galatians 6, "If any man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so we've seen the Father seek to restore Elijah. We've seen his dealings with David, with the older son. We have seen the gentleness of the Father and of the Son. We've seen the gentleness of Paul. And now God says, "I want to see this gentleness in you." And the work of the Spirit in your life is to produce this fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And so what God is, He wants us to be. By His grace, may it be so. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you are a God, that you are. "I am what I am." That is the way that you describe yourself. And we are glad, our God, that you're not all gentleness. We are thankful that there is strength in God. We are thankful for the compassion that men have experienced in their relationships with you. But you have spoken, Father, of your love. "As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, I scourge every son that I receive." And yet, Father, that scourging, even then, there is still that God of gentleness. So, our Lord, let those who do not know thy gentleness experience it. Those who are sinners, who know not the forgiveness of sins, let them understand, as that woman did, who in the city was a sinner, that there is mercy with the Lord, and there is gentleness when a sinner comes with a broken and a contrite heart, thou, O God, wilt not refuse. So help all of us, our Father, to consider thy Son, to consider you, and to allow thy Spirit to produce his fruit in our lives, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.